So then this lesson, this particular lesson, I taught it in our personal growth class. I also, just recently, because we're going through the stewardship of life, I taught it in our Sunday school class. Now, some of you, I taught it differently than what the manual actually gave it to us as. And so the other teachers, I didn't tell them that I was doing my own thing. And so the only one in here that I know of, Samantha, you're the only one that may have heard this before. So I'm excited about that. That helps me. And, you know, if you feel like, it's boring me because I heard it again. Well, take a nap. That'll help. Actually, I've added a lot to this. And I've got to tell you that this is a subject that is convicting, but it's also motivating. It's convicting, but also very motivating. Let's go ahead. If you're able to stand, we're going to read verse 10 through 12. Or 12 through 15. That'd be fine. 12 through 15. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So in order to have order in your life, time management is necessary. That's just a reality. Time management is necessary. One of the blessings of going to college was, if you're going to make it, you better use your time wisely. It's a sink or swim deal there. When you have lots of children and your both spouses are working a job, time management is extremely important if you're going to enjoy life at all, because it can become chaotic real quick if you do not take the helm of your time that God's given you. So let's pray here. Father, may you bless this message and help me to speak, and may the Holy Spirit use it to minister to your people tonight. You have given us time. We're here because we have time. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Ghost would open our eyes as we study your word in this matter. And I believe experience will validate much of what is already taught in the scriptures. But nevertheless, there are some principles here that'll help us. No matter where we are in life, no matter how chaotic our life is, this area here of all the other subjects can help us get order in our lives. So I pray you'd help me to speak. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you can be seated. Let me just read a few thoughts here. I don't believe most people get married with a desire to get divorced. I don't believe men live at homeless shelters because that was their childhood dream. I don't believe people grow old and become grumpy and bitter because that was their life's aspiration. I don't believe people file bankruptcy because that's what they intended to do when they left home. I believe the way we have managed our time has a lot to do with it. I understand some things are out of our control, but in many cases, and I just, as a confession, in many cases for me, many of my failures have been time management failures. I'm sure that's not been your problem, but in my case, it has. Now, the question shouldn't be, well, I just don't have enough time for church, or I don't have enough time for family, or I don't have enough time for work, I don't have enough time for this, and I don't have enough time for that. That shouldn't be the question. Sometimes, I remember Zig Ziglar mentioning this, he said, what happens, a lot of people, they're miserable at work because all they're doing is thinking about the vacation. And then when they go on vacation, they're miserable on vacation because they're thinking about all the work they didn't get done. And it's an endless cycle of misery because the individual didn't focus on the task at hand. Now, the reality is this. We should not have to sacrifice church for work or work for church. We should not have to sacrifice our family for work or our work for our family. That shouldn't be a problem. Okay, that should not be the issue. Now, as we jump into this, some things to consider. Consider our days, says the psalmist, and actually this is Moses. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so I did exactly that. Number our days. And so let's look at, and some of you are thinking, 75? We need to raise that thing, raise that bar to like 9,500, okay? Forgive me and indulge me and let's just work with 75 and let's just say you're in the bonus years and you're probably going to live to 120. I don't know. But 75 years multiplied by 365 days a year equals 27,375 days. Now, the Bible tells us our life is like a vapor. So here's what I'd have you do at this time, unless you're older than 75. And actually, if you're 74 and a half, this would discourage you, so don't you do it either. As a matter of fact, only you in the 60s and below participate in this experiment. There's not a... maybe half. Okay, I used the number 57, Anne. That's what I used. Since I'm already 56 and three quarters. So I took my age, take your age, multiply it by 365. Well, I come up with 20,805 days. If, you know, wait a minute. That's how much I've lived already. And so I deduct that from 27,375. And if I live to 75, I've got 6,570 days left. Man, that just doesn't sound like a lot. But you know, if I get next to some of you that are 76 and 77, I feel pretty good. So what am I saying? God's Word tells us, number your days. Think ahead. Because life is quick. It's quick. And it's hard to get order in your life if you don't know how to manage your time, and it's hard to manage your time if you don't know where you're going and what you're doing. You know, God has a plan for each and every life in this room. He's got one plan that is for each and every one of us as believers, one particular plan. And I was thinking, I read something this morning about a puzzle. You know, it's pretty difficult to complete a puzzle. It's not impossible, as Samantha has told me. But it's difficult to complete a puzzle if you don't have the picture. Are you hearing me? And often we live life like somebody who doesn't have a picture of what God wants us to be and wants us where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do. We don't have that picture. And so we got all these pieces and it's like, it's not coming together real well. I can assure you this, He wants each and every one of us to be like Christ. He wants each and every one of us to pursue Christ-likeness, Christian. Allow the Spirit of God to work that in our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So even if we did look ahead and say, "Man, I got 6,500 days left," doesn't necessarily mean I do. We need to consider our time. All right, so Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 4:5, both of those passages of Scripture say this, redeeming the time. They have that reference, redeeming the time. One of them, I believe it's Ephesians 5:16, It says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Get a hold of it. Manage it. Okay? Underneath that, it is your most valuable asset. I mean, what's all that money in the bank going to do for you if you're out of time? Hello? What's all that knowledge going to do for you when you're out of time? I mean, a lot of people know to do good, but they don't do it. A lot of people dream about accomplishing something, but they never get their foot out and go forward with it. And then time runs out. Well, I was going to fix the garage. I was going to fix up the house. I was going to pay off the mortgage here. I was going to do that, and I probably could have, but I just never went after it. And then you run out of time. Time will lose its value if it's not used for something of value. Though it is your most valuable asset, if it's not used, what value did it have? Hello? I mean, if it's used for drugs and alcohol and immorality and living in the far country, it has no value at all. No value at all. Time can be increased. Here's an interesting thought. If you have your Bibles and Psalms, flip over to Proverbs chapter 3. Time can be increased. Yeah, this gets my attention here. I'll read verse 1 and 2, and this is in reference to wisdom. Wisdom. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they, what? I like that. I do like that. I mean, I understand heaven's a better place, and you understand that as well. The problem is we live here, and this is tangible to us right now. We have the great hope and the great comfort of heaven. It's paradise. But the reality is it is difficult. It's difficult. We know our day is coming. We know the day. I'm hoping to go out on the trumpet sound. I like what Brother John said. He said, yeah, I and my dad are hoping to go out on the same ticket there. But the reality is this. We can increase our time. It's possible. The very fact, notice the reading. He said, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. You know, there are some physical health benefits to living a Christian life. Literally. There are health benefits to living the Christian life. Now, some of you that made a decision to live your life for the Lord at a younger age, it doesn't take a theologian or even a doctor to be able to look at maybe some of your peers who have lived for the world and lived for self, and they're your age, and realize there's a health difference. Now, again, I know there are exceptions to everything I say here in that sense. Somebody could have cancer and that. I understand that. But the reality is the righteous life, the Christian life, is physically and mentally beneficial for you. And it's even beneficial for a lost person, at least on this side of eternity. Honoring the commandments of the Lord. Ephesians 6:3, here's something else worth mentioning. Ephesians 6:3. Many of you have children that are out of the house, but nevertheless, for the few kids that are here and those of you that are still raising your children, this is worth considering. In Ephesians 6:3, well, let me read verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest what? Live long on the earth. Well, that's a promise. Now, kids don't think about that because kids think they got 30's a million years away, you know, to a kid. But those of us that are beyond that mark realize, no, you're going to be there before you know it. 40, 50, 60, 70. And the reality is God says there's a promise there. Letter B, time can be increased in your life. I already said that. But through prayer. Now, I'm not going to have you turn there, but the story of King Hezekiah. God told Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, to set your house in order. Now, there's something significant there. God knows how to get our attention and to give us time to get our house in order. God knows how to get our attention so that we can get our house in order before we meet Him. And if we don't, it's not God's fault. Now, in this passage, though, in Isaiah 38, we find, verses 1 through 5, we find Hezekiah immediately goes to prayer. And he pleads with God for mercy, because he's a young man. I mean, he's only in his, like, late 30s when he gets this notice. And, no, he's early 40s. And he's like, Lord, have mercy on me. Remember what I've done. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you 15 more years. So, he got it. Now, underneath that, you're going to notice a couple comments. Length of life does not mean quality of life. That's worth considering as well. A person can live to be 80 and 90 and not have quality of life. And matter of fact, be a difficult person to be around. On the same token, well, Manasseh, I find Manasseh as a Bible character, a king. The longest reigning king in Israel was Manasseh. He reigned for 55 years, and he was absolutely wicked. I mean, he sacrificed his children on the altar of Molech. And so he did repent at the very end of his life, but nevertheless, his longevity did not mean quality. But on reverse, nor does a quality life need to be long. That's, I need to read it all together. Nor does a quality life need to be long. Of course, the Lord Jesus lived 33 years in our years, and it was the most quality life ever lived. But Stephen did not appear to be an old man. James did not appear to be an old man, and yet they lived quality lives. And you can think of many people like that. Eternity is worth your time. It's worth your time. I'm looking to put a track out with that title. Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? When it comes to time management, always remember there's a trade. You're always trading something. And it's very important for you to understand the best trades and make them. Letter D, the best use of your time is doing, anybody want to guess? Doing right? Well, I mean, that would work. That's not the answer I've written down, but I'm not going to argue with that. Anybody else want to? God's will. God's will for your life and for my life. The best use of our time is doing God's will. Finding out what God wants us to do and doing it is the best use of our time. Time with God is time well spent. Letter F. What you trade your time for reveals what you value. Investing in, by the way, pay close attention here. This is why I had that personal growth class. And this is why I teach subjects like this now and then. Investing in yourself is not a waste of time, no more than taking time to put fuel in your car. Are you hearing me? Investing in yourself is not a waste of time. Why? Because I can only give what I have. You can only give what you have. And if we invest in ourselves, whether it means developing a skill, whether it means increasing in some knowledge, helpful, useful knowledge, and certainly, or even financial accumulation. That's going to allow us to do more for others. Are you hearing me? So, that, I know that statement could be misunderstood, so I wanted to explain it. Something else that needs to be understood. Proper rest is not a waste of time. Proper rest is not a waste of time. I realize some people can persevere, but what happens is, in some cases, when they should have taken rest, they end up doing a job haphazardly. Or, man, I remember in Bible college on two different occasions, the 3 years I was there, guys falling asleep at the wheel and people being killed on the Dan Ryan on the way to Chicago. They fell asleep at the wheel. Well, what happened? Well, they should have rested. I mean, yeah, our hearts were broken, but the reality is this. Proper rest is not a waste of time. Don't feel guilty about that. I mean, God knows how to make you feel guilty when you need to feel guilty, though. Too much rest. All right, flip the page. Your time when it comes to personal responsibilities and goals. Let's consider this. He who fails to plan, plans to fail. Absolutely. Proverbs 4:26, one of my favorite verses. Ponder the path of thy feet. This is from God's word. It's so practical for us. Ponder, think ahead. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Prepare for the future is what the wise man is saying. Think ahead and prepare for the future. You know, you and I as Christians, we ought to live with a couple different perspectives. Number one, Jesus could come at any time and be ready. But number two, I could live a full life here, and in so doing, I'm going to have to be able to take care of myself or be able to take care of my family when I get to be older and I'm unable to work and I'm unable to save and all of that. Y'all hearing me? All right, moving ahead. Nehemiah chapter 2:6. I would like to flip over there real quick. Nehemiah 2:6. We're making good ground. Nehemiah 2, verse 6. If you don't know where it's at, that's what the index is for. Nehemiah, actually right before Psalms and Job and Esther. All right, Nehemiah 2:6. So Nehemiah gets word. Nehemiah is in Persia, and Nehemiah gets word that Jerusalem has been absolutely leveled. The temple is destroyed, and the walls of Jerusalem are destroyed. Nehemiah is brokenhearted about all of this. Absolutely brokenhearted. He's grieved, and he can't escape the grief. And he prays and asks the Lord for wisdom. He wants to do something. And so he realizes in order for him to do anything physically, he needs permission of the king that he's serving. And so he goes in to pray and speak to the king and inquire and seek the king's permission. The king can obviously tell something's wrong. He sees his countenance. So Nehemiah tells him, this is what's going on. This is why I'm brokenhearted. I'd like to go back and I'd like to rebuild this. The king says, well, how long is this going to take? So look at verse 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a what? A time. See, Nehemiah understood the necessity of time management. That's why he didn't loaf when he showed up on the job in Jerusalem. He assessed the situation. He found out who was on board. And then he poured out his heart to the people that were there. And they worked, and they worked, and they worked. And they finished the job in record time. And he was able to return to the king before the appointed time. And by the way, when a guy does that, you reckon he earns privileges for the next time he needs to go? Absolutely. It says a lot about a guy's character. When we make, turn over to 2 Samuel, flip over to your left, 2 Samuel chapter 20, 2 Samuel 20. Before you even read the verse, let me give you the fill in the blank. When we make light of time, we lose privileges And I actually put / opportunities. When we make light of time, we lose privileges and opportunities. There are many dreamers that dream about what they'd like to do, what they want to do, and the reality is what they could do, and they never accomplish it. Not because they don't have the ability and not because they don't have the time. It was just a matter of time management. In this particular passage we're going to read, there's a conspiracy amongst the people of Israel. David has returned as the king, and he's trying to unite the kingdom again. But there's a man that has caused a stir named Sheba. And David brings in Amasa, who is his nephew. And get this, Amasa, during the Civil War, was fighting against David. And yet David, in order to show that he wanted peace, to hand out the olive branch, he tells Amasa, "You're my blood, you're my bone." He says, "I'm going to make you captain," because David got mad at Joab, because Joab executed the main conspirator of the Civil War, which was David's son, Absalom. Whole other story, but here's what you need to get. So David gives Amasa this great opportunity to be the captain of the Lord's host of this army. He literally has taken the place of the general Joab. And David tells Amasa, "I need you to rally the troops and you need to meet me back at this time." Amasa says, "Okay, I'll do it." And we read verse 5. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. I'm not going to read on because the fact of the matter is he lost his job. The king didn't have time to waste. The conspiracy was not slowing down. The fire was not getting weaker. It was getting stronger. And this new civil war could break out any minute if we didn't squelch the leader of it. And so David calls Abishai, another nephew who'd remained faithful, and says, "I need you to rally the troops." And so Abishai does, and of course Abishai gets his brother Joab, and they get the job done. And yes, Joab kills Amasa on the way. They were not friendly cousins. But what I want you to understand, and the practical principle for you and I is this: when we make light of time, appointments, of schedules, We lose privileges. We lose opportunities. Goals, I'll move on now. As we consider time, there's so many facets, but this idea of goals. Goals are for those who want to make good use of their time. The Bible tells us in John 9:4, I'm going to read the two verses in opposite. John 9:4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." While it is day. Hebrews 12:2, the Bible tells us, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame." Now this is what's significant. Who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus looked ahead and he understood the time he had and how he was to use it to accomplish this task. It was a goal. By the way, you and I are all beneficiaries of that. And you know, the reality is this: you accomplishing some of your goals could benefit a whole lot of people as well as you. But people who want to make good use of their time have goals. They have goals in their life. When it comes to this time management, we need to know your duties. I wrote duties because it's shorter than responsibilities. Know your duties. Turn over to Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. In Joshua chapter 11, why don't you look at verse 15. I've always found this fascinating. Dr. Jack Hiles preached a sermon on this passage. I never forgot it. It was so practical. In Joshua 11 verse 15, the Bible says, "As the Lord commanded Moses' servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua." Now notice these next four words. He left something undone. Nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Now let's gather this in our minds for a moment. Joshua has taken the baton from Moses. He's now the leader of Israel. This is on, I can move. And Joshua has a job to do. Everything that was required of Moses, Moses handed it off to Joshua, and the Bible tells us Joshua took it, and he didn't just do it, he completed it. He left nothing undone that was supposed to be done when they went in to conquer the land. He did his part. He followed his role. Now that's interesting, because in order to do that, in order to do all that you're supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen, this is a fact. You're not going to get to do all you want to do. Oh, really? That's Christianity. You say, how? Because my flesh wars against my spirit, and they're contrary one to the other. And my flesh wants to do something, but it's not what the Spirit of God wants me to do. And if I'm going to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish, I'm going to have to realize there's just some things that are going to have to be foregone if I'm going to accomplish that which has eternal value. Are you hearing me? We're just not going to be able to do everything we want to do. It doesn't mean we won't get to do a lot of the things, but we're not going to be able to do everything. There's going to be a lot of things we want to do that we just, I can't. That's all right. It wasn't in the plan of God. It probably would have brought more problems than benefits anyways. Dr. Ben Carson, the neurologist. Let me share this. Got a few minutes. Dr. Ben Carson is at the bedside of his dear wife who was carrying her child. She became so ill that she almost flatlined, and they had to induce her, put her in an induced coma. And she was there for like 4 or 5 days. She was at the hospital that Dr. Ben Carson worked at, and she came to consciousness, and she looked up, and she saw her husband. And he looked over at her, and she said to him, "Aren't you supposed to be on duty?" And he said to her, "I am on duty." You see, we evaluate our priorities by relationships, ladies and gentlemen. Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, relationship with our spouse, our children. Hello? We evaluate priorities that way. The important things, this is an interesting thought. You need to think about this. You'll understand it. I believe you'll grasp it. The important things do not often scream for our attention. You and I have talked about this. The important, what do you mean? You know, my truck doesn't always say, check the oil. My truck doesn't always say, oh, I know you got those little indicators. But you know, they're so easy to ignore. And ignore and ignore and ignore. You know, my furnace filter doesn't say, "Hey, you need to change me. I got a lot of dirt on me." My furnace filter doesn't do that. I mean, we figure it out when we start scraping our tongue. I mean, the water softener doesn't always say, "Hey, you need to put some salt in here." When you've all of a sudden discovered while you're in the shower, why? This soap cleans off better than it did before. Huh. My Bible doesn't always say, "Hey, you need to read me today." Is this important? Prayer time doesn't always scream and say, "Hey, come on over here. You need to kneel down and spend some time with God." No, you know the beautiful thing? Our Lord Jesus doesn't force himself on anybody. Matter of fact, on a number of occasions, he made as though he'd go on if he wasn't invited. But you and I need prayer, and you and I need the Word of God. And there's so many important things in our life that don't scream for our attention. You know, my finances don't cry out and say, you need to check the budget. You don't have that in the bank. It doesn't scream that out. Hello? But those are important things. Mercy. We got time. I want to say this, beware of time robbers. Now, I believe if you're walking in the Spirit, there's a difference between a time robber and divine appointments, and God wants you to talk to people and fellowship, and that's important. We need that. But on the same token, listen, we all, during maybe a busy time, it's like, I better not answer that phone call. You ever been there? Oh, thank God for caller ID. Whew. Better let that one rest, okay? Because if I get on that one, this job is not going to be done. You all know what I'm talking about. Are you all familiar with Dilbert, the little comic character, Dilbert? All right, well, I'm going to tell you about Dilbert and his dog. So there was a little clip in the newspaper about time management, and Dilbert and his dog are in the scene. And the dog, he's like this genius, and he's at the computer, and he's working, and Dilbert wants to get some counsel from the dog. How are you able to get so much done? And the dog says, well, you got to always postpone meeting with people with time-wasting morons. That's what he says. And so Dilbert's behind the dog, and the dog gives him that counsel. Dilbert says, well, how do you do that? And the dog says, can I get back with you? That's funny, but it might save us some time. We're at Roman numeral number 3. We're going to wrap this up. Consider efficiency with your time. You know, the fact is we can do more than we thought with the time we have. How many of you are able to get, I mean, the week before vacation, man, you know how to get things in order. You're scrambling. You've got some mojo to get up in the morning to get things packed, get things orderly, get the house ready, make sure things are cared for at work. You want to be able to enjoy your vacation, so you're scrambling, you're working. I bet you even have a checklist. Hello? You got your checklist, 15 pair of socks. I don't know, you know. I mean, you got it all down. Swim trunks, golf shorts. Well, I mean, I'd have that on mine. You see, we ought to make it a practice to schedule the day's responsibilities if you don't do that. I wish I could say I was more consistent than I am. But I try to, I left it in my office. I try to keep a little 3x5 with me, and I like to write down things on there and put a little box so I can check it off. And I'll put lunch on there just so I can check off another box. Oh, yeah, lunch. Yippee. So doing that, it's just making you think ahead. Learning to use our idle time effectively. Waiting in a doctor's office. Or a long ride in a car. Well, what can you do? Man, you can listen. You can pray. You can listen to good music. You can listen to a sermon. Maybe you can make some phone calls. Don't text. In the doctor's office, that's fine. But using your time efficiently. Finally, learning to do two things at once. The exercise and listening to a book or praying and something like that. But I'm just trying, I bring this to you because if we want to have order in our life, we have to manage our time. God has given you and I the responsibility to manage the time allotted to us. I can't manage your time, you can't manage my time. My wife can't manage my time. I mean, it'd probably be good if she did, but she can't manage my time. I've got to manage my time. And in so doing, the beautiful thing is this, the ball's in our hands. It's in our hands. As much as we'd like to blame our failures and blame our life's problems on everybody else and everything else, God says, you got time. You got time. Father, may you bless the service. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray the Holy Spirit would help us this evening to number our days. I pray that you'd help us make good use of our time. I'm grateful, Lord, that these folks chose to be in church tonight. I pray they would take this home with them, Lord, and think ahead. Pray and seek guidance and direction concerning your plan, your purpose. Some things are obvious. But help them, Father. Then help them to schedule time for the important things in their life. We love you, we praise you, we ask you to bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.